Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Right now, giving away one large specialty pizza to Marco's Pizza in Aurora. You can find them off of Quincy and Smoky Hill Road. Ingredients are fresh. Their doughs and sauces are made fresh every day, just like the salads. I love the pizza at Marco's. One free large specialty pizza on us right now. You give us a call on the hotline, 303-831-1340. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
All right, our friend Woody Page wrote a column this weekend focusing on George Payton, and two paragraphs stood out to both of us. First thing he wrote, Vic Fangio and Drew Locke definitely will return in 2021, but nothing is guaranteed beyond that. Payton's agent also represents Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald, a popular choice as an NFL coach soon. What do you take from that?
Well, the Fitzgerald connection is interesting because Fitzgerald is sort of like George Payton. He's had opportunities. He's had teams expressed interest in him, and so far he has rebuffed all interest to this point. Now, the buzz going into the offseason was that the one job he would have wanted was that of the Chicago Bears. He wouldn't have to move. It's just down the street. There's connection with the Ryan family, but with the Bears and their big donors to Northwestern, they built the football facility. But this is an intriguing wrinkle, and it's one of those things that makes you think, all right, if Vic Fangio can't get it turned around this year, George Payton may already have a plan.
He better not.
At head coach and at quarterback.
Better not.
Why?
Better not. If for some reason he is not planning on retaining Vic Fangio, the Denver Broncos lucked out that Brian Daboll is going to stay in Buffalo for one more year. If George Payton hires Pat Fitzgerald over Brian Daboll, who is one of the most creative offensive minds I have seen recently, I'd be flabbergasted. Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern guy. I'm a Chicago guy. I know who Pat Fitzgerald is.
And he's been a head coach. He's run his own shop. He's right. Been the guy making the calls.
He's at Northwestern. He's not Urban Meyer. He's not Steve Spurrier.
He has a harder job. Nick Saban. He's a harder job at Northwestern. I mean, I always say, you know, a lot of coaches can win at Alabama. A lot of coaches can win at Ohio State. I always want the coaches winning at Northwestern or Wake Forest. You know, winning where it's hard. That's what Pat Fitzgerald has done.
It's great. Good for him. That's great. I don't want him as my NFL head coach. I just don't. Do you?
I'd be fine with Pat Fitzgerald.
Why? Why are you so sold on him? Tell me what you know about him that makes you think he is going to be a terrific NFL coach, knowing it's hard to make that transition.
It's all, he would not run the offense. The question is, who would he bring in? And I'd be
sold. How about bringing Brian Daboll? Yeah.
Well, Brian Daboll is not going to leave to be anything but a head coach.
How about bring him in to be the head coach? He's incredibly qualified. And the Chargers made a huge mistake not hiring
and
him.
And it's early in this. I mean, so maybe he's got the plan in the back of his mind. And if the Broncos do well, Vic Fangio is going to be back next year. But the other thing is, every GM, no matter what the situation, every GM worth his or her salt always carries around a list of coaches, managers in waiting, just in case. So they all always have that.
Well, okay, I'm going to try and make a parallel here.
Okay.
What NFL experience does Pat Fitzgerald have in the coaching ranks?
All college. No NFL experience.
All college. Now, there was a coach about 5 years ago. I heard this guy's name. Had never heard of him. But people kept saying, this guy's going to be an NFL coach one day. I said, really? Look at the school he's at. Oh, by the way, difficult to recruit there too. Yeah. really good college coach. And everyone's like, this guy's going to be an NFL coach one day. I said, well, what's his NFL experience? And people would say to me, well, he's had assistant jobs throughout the NFL. I said, well, then you're probably right because he's done so well in college. Who is the head coach at Iowa State?
Matt Campbell. I thought you were going to say Matt Rule at Carolina.
No, Matt Campbell.
Yeah.
But he spent time in the NFL.
And so did Matt Rule.
Right.
And that's what Fitzgerald is missing.
Exactly. So Pat Fitzgerald is not Urban Meyer or Steve Spurrier or Nick Saban. He might succeed, but let him succeed someplace else. I'll take that risk.
So you'd rather take the risk on somebody who hasn't been a head coach before? I mean, both basically that... If it's my club, with all respect to Brian Daboll, if it's my club, mm-hmm. I want somebody who's run their own shop. Now, I agree. Okay. I would be more inclined to hire the college coach with some NFL experience. I would be more inclined to have hired a Matt Rule
or
Matt Campbell.
Well, good. Then hopefully Ryan Day will become available out of Ohio State and go hire him. He's pretty good, isn't he?
He hasn't built a program.
He inherited a program. Who's the head coach in Notre Dame again?
And by the way, Matt Campbell.
Who's the head coach?
Matt Campbell did not have any NFL experience. My bad.
I thought Matt Campbell did.
No, he doesn't. I'm looking at his resume
at
right
all?
Now. No. Matt Campbell's resume is Bowling Green, Mount Union, Toledo, Iowa State.
I guess I was wrong.
But he is regarded very well in NFL circles. And again,
right.
Winning where it's damn near impossible to win.
Right. Charlie Weiss, the head coach in Notre Dame?
Who's
the head coach there?
Yeah, Brian Kelly.
How about him? Why not bring him in? You know why?
Because
he's run a major college program, Mace.
Well, he's
also... He's run a major college program.
But you got to run
a
major...
This isn't about
strictly running a major college program. The reason why I'm not hiring Brian Kelly is literally he left some kid up on a cherry picker to die in a windstorm. I wouldn't touch Brian Kelly with a 50-foot pole.
Well, I wouldn't touch that. Well, at the end of the day, he's built a program.
Right? At Notre Dame. Give me the coach that wins at like out of nothing at Iowa State or Northwestern or Duke.
Who's head coach at Iowa State right now?
We just named him.
Matt Campbell?
Yeah.
Go hire him.
Well, how did this get on this? I mean, I'm not suddenly a Pat Fitzgerald stan. I'm saying I'd be fine with him. I would hope that he would not be the only guy on the list if they made that move.
One more thing, Woody wrote, one highly respected executive told me that the Broncos, quote, will take a step backward before taking three steps forward. So one highly respected executive told me that the Broncos, not saying it's a Broncos executive.
Right.
We'll take a step backward before taking three steps forward. And Patton certainly is aware the franchise must confront Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert in four games every season. How are you reading that?
What I read that is saying that if Drew Lock isn't the guy, then they have to put themselves in position to find somebody who can be an elite quarterback. And the only way you get there, unless you are trading for Deshaun Watson, the only way you're likely getting there is having a high pick in the draft. Those are your best odds for finding that guy. And it could be a situation where if you struggle this year, maybe you're focused on who you would get at the top of the draft next year. The other thing is this. How do the Broncos take a step back? What happens to cause a step back?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
And the first thing
they've been taking steps back for a while. I don't know if they can go back any further than five wins.
Exactly. Yeah, of course, they
can. They can have four wins.
Well, you say, okay, they've got all these guys coming back from injured reserve that they shouldn't have the same bad luck with injuries they had. But what if George Payton regards this year as a clear the deck year, cap wise?
He's got 6 years. He's not going anywhere.
And the way they would step back, frankly, is if you don't re-sign a lot of your key free agents. Like I could see them stepping back if they lose Shelby Harris, lose Justin Simmons, cut Jarrell Casey, cut AJ Boye, and do not have adequate internal replacements for them. That's what I could see being the step backward. If they use this year to kind of say, okay, we're going to kind of clear the deck in a little bit, will be in big cap shape, kind of like the Jaguars are right now. The Jaguars are sitting on 2 first-round picks. They're sitting on 2 second-round picks, and they've got a lot of cap space. So maybe that also involves trading for future capital in the 2022 draft. A lot of these things could come into play.
Coming up after the break, Eric Bieniemy is still trying to get his first head coaching job. I've seen a lot of national media guys on Twitter saying, how in the world is Eric Bieniemy not getting a job? Look at this guy's resume. It's got to be a racial thing. I don't think it is a racial thing. Mace, I don't think you think it's a racial thing. And my former radio partner, Les Shapiro, who covered Eric Bieniemy throughout his college career here. As a matter of fact, Les did play-by-play for the CU Buffs when Bieniemy was a running back. He thinks exactly how we think as well. This is not a racial thing about Eric Bieniemy. Sorry, media members who are spitting out the wrong narrative. We'll talk about this next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. I want to tell you about Colorado Off-Road. If you're looking to upfit your truck, your car, your Jeep, your SUV, you need to go to Colorado Off-Road. When you buy from Colorado Off-Road, they install everything. And if you need something aftermarket, they've got over 90 years combined experience to help you get what you want. Here's something else. It's a local company. Jerry, the owner, grew up in Littleton, and Colorado Off-Road is in Littleton. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Bubbles Liquor World. Go to Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock for the lowest prices on beer, wine, and spirits.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in a longtime friend of ours, a former radio partner of mine. And I upfitted with Andrew Mason, Les. I just want you to know that.
Oh, come on. Come on.
No, you probably did, but Andrew, I also see that Eric's ego is still that runaway train it always has been, and he's calling the show Goodman Mason. He badgered me into calling our show Goodman Shapiro, and I figured, why fight it? Let him have his way. It'll make him happy. You know, happy wife, happy life. You know,
it was an alphabetical thing, Les.
Yeah,
it's an alphabetical thing.
The alphabetical thing is how I sleep.
G and S and then G and M.
But the alphabetical thing is how I sleep well at night. Otherwise, I'd toss and turn.
All right. You covered Eric Bieniemy when he played in college. You did play-by-play for the Colorado Buffaloes. You understand who Eric Bieniemy is. I don't know the last time that you talked to him. The reason why I wanted to bring you on the show was I've been seeing a lot of chatter on Twitter from a lot of national writers, a lot of national broadcast guys that are saying Eric Bieniemy is getting screwed again. You know, you saw what just happened today with the LA Chargers. They just hired a new head coach, Brandon Staley, who has almost no experience in the NFL, at least as a coordinator. Now he's a new head coach, and everybody looks at Eric Bieniemy and says, look at this guy's resume. Is this beyond Eric Bieniemy's resume on why he is not getting a job? And do you take exception to people saying this is a racial thing because 70% of the NFL is black?
Yeah, I don't think it's a racial thing, Eric. And I'm reading and listening to the same things you're listening to, the national writers and the talking heads. And you would think, by their estimation, Bieniemy was the surest of sure shots, you know, the last few coaching cycles. And I kind of get it. You know, in a league where 70% of the players are black and there are only 3 minority head coaches, some of these media people are jumping on that hire a black coach thing so badly. They want it to happen so badly, they're not doing their homework. You know, they're asking, why isn't he being hired, without really trying to answer the question themselves. But, you know, some of us around Colorado know there are a number of factors, including questions of character that follow Bieniemy around, and probably deservedly so.
Yeah, it's interesting that I'm really surprised that there haven't been more media stories about the background. And if you just want to kind of talk about the football side of it, it's that, you know, before Kansas City, the last time he was an offensive coordinator and he didn't have Andy Reid over him was at CU just in the last decade under John Emery, and that was a pretty disastrous stint.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Most of the stories haven't even come out, but, you know, we being around the program, as we have been over the last few decades, we've heard some of the stories, and we've been able to verify some of the stories with people who were right there in the room when they happened. Let's talk about it specifically. In I think it was 2011, that was his second coaching stint in Boulder. He was on John Embry's staff, and it was dysfunctional, to say the least. First of all, he made trouble for Embry. He made trouble for the head coach, his buddy at CU. According to my sources, who are very close to the program, Eric acted like he was the head coach, and it really gnawed at Embry. He also got into it with other coaches to the point, I'm told, where there were actual physical skirmishes and screaming matches. He was the loudest and the most volatile person in the room, and he was an absolute nightmare for Embry.
We're talking with Les Shapiro, a longtime Denver sportscaster, and you might remember him as I was his radio partner here in Denver. He was not mine. I'm sure you read The Undefeated. Jason Reed is a black columnist for The Undefeated. And listen, I know we're having this conversation on MLK Day, and I was talking to a friend of mine in the media today, a guy that, you know, both you and Andrew know really well, and he said to me, boy, having this conversation on MLK Day, that just seems a little tone deaf. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make this sound tone deaf because it's Martin Luther King Day. This is just a story that is out there. It's gained a lot of chatter. And I think it's important that we talk about this only because Eric Bieniemy was a Colorado player, was a Colorado coach. So Jason Reed from The Undefeated, Les, wrote this. Short of Bieniemy wrapping all of his answers to questions, there's no way he could interview so poorly relative to his role in the Chiefs' spectacular success. To still be shut out just doesn't add up. The other whispers around Bieniemy concerns incidents that occurred during his playing days at a time and time as a young coach, though none of that has been publicly revealed in the past 20 years. And I think that's where Jason Reed is falling short, Les. He needs to do more of his homework to find out what has happened in the last 8 years, not the last 20
Eric,
years.
Let me ask, this is what I would ask Jason. Jason is his name, Jason Reed?
Jason Reed.
Here's what I would ask Jason. How many times has CU had a head coach opening in the last 15 to 20 years? Five, six times?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And CU has never considered hiring him as the head coach. Why do you think that is? Here's a guy with decades of coaching experience, including at the highest level, the NFL, but CU doesn't consider him. Why not? Because they know him better than anybody else. There's so much history there, and a lot of it's bad history. You know the old saying, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
He's had three stints at CU. The first one ended when his tumultuous college career ended, and the last two as a coach ended badly. And I get it. You know, he's right. A lot of those things, those incidents happened when Eric was a young man. But I...
8 years ago, Les isn't a young man.
Well,
eight years ago is 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But I'd be willing to bet that the problems with Embry at CU just 8 years ago, when Eric was a grown man in his 40s, by the way,
right,
have followed him around. Remember, Embry's been a long-time assistant in the NFL as well. In fact, he's been with the 49ers for the last 4 years. And frankly, you know, people talk and stories get told. And I'm sure people around the NFL have heard those stories. But also, let's not discount the fact, or I shouldn't call it a fact, because I have not been privy to his interviews with NFL teams, but let's not discount the ongoing story, the allegations that he's not a good interview. And if you don't impress these guys in their 2, 3, 4 hours, they're going to turn somewhere else. Plus, there are the questions about whether or not he's really the offensive coordinator in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I, one of the things I find interesting, Les, is that there's all this focus on a minority, having minority candidates, but the focus is on Eric Bieniemy. But you know, there are plenty of other guys who are more than qualified. Just take a look around at the conference championship games this coming weekend. Buffalo has Leslie Frazier, who's been a head coach, presumably would probably, you know, learn from his past stint with Minnesota. Tampa Bay has two minority candidates in Byron Leftwich on the offensive side and Todd Bowles on the defensive side. Bowles has been a head coach and presumably would have grown and learned from that. And oh, by the way, you know, we talk about two magnum opuses from a coordinator perspective. They were conducted by Frazier and Bowles this weekend. So I just, it kind of frustrates me. Why is everyone so focused on Bieniemy when there are all these other candidates who certainly look like they're positioned to do really good jobs if they get head coaching shots?
Yeah, and don't forget Raheem Morris is out there, and Jim Caldwell, and
right.
Robert Lewis, Deuce Staley, and a bunch of other guys, who are black. I don't understand it either, but you know what happens sometimes with the national media. Eric Bieniemy right now is the coach du jour. He's the candidate du jour that they have chosen to bang the drum for. But I'm going to go back to, you know, what he's done in Kansas City. I'm sure a lot of people watch these games the way the three of us do on Sundays and see that it's obvious Andy Reid is the one calling the plays on Sundays. He's the one getting the plays into Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of people are also saying, well, I mean, how hard is it to be the offensive coordinator in title for the Kansas City Chiefs when you've got the best quarterback in the business, the best tight end in the business, the best wide receiver in the business, two pretty darn good running backs, a decent offensive line? One of the reasons he's the candidate du jour in these guys' minds is not just because of the color of his skin, but because the Chiefs are winning. And they're winning in spectacular fashion, and they're winning on offense. And he is entitled the offensive coordinator.
Here's the thing. Whether Bieniemy calls the plays or not, okay, your resume doesn't get you a job. His resume is impressive. He was also the running backs coach when Adrian Peterson came into the league. He has a very impressive resume. But just because you have a great resume doesn't mean you are a great leader and CEO for a team. And I think a lot of teams over the course of time have found that out with bad hires. And Eric Bieniemy, he's been in the spotlight for the last 2 years to get a coaching job. Why isn't he getting a coaching job? I think I told you this on the phone, Les. I know somebody who worked with Eric Bieniemy. I had this conversation less than 6 months ago. Worked with Eric Bieniemy, and the Cleveland Browns called him and said, what do you think about Eric Bieniemy? And that person said, pardon me?
For head coach?
For head coach with the Cleveland Browns. And this guy said, I wouldn't even touch him. He's toxic. That's why he's not getting jobs.
Because, yeah, and some people might feel that's unfair because the majority of the incidents happened so long ago, but those things follow you around.
Yep.
They just do. And you know, Eric is an acquaintance of plenty of people who are in the NFL right now who know of his past and who probably have been leaned on for their opinion, just like that guy you're talking about. And he's not going to come out looking good when those people give their opinions. Now, again, he's been a pretty darn good, from everything I've read and the people I've talked to, he's been a pretty darn good running backs coach in the NFL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guys have done very, very well under
Adrian Peterson.
Under his coaching.
Yeah.
And he's with a winning program right now. But it's hard to shake those things. It's hard to shake the allegations. It's hard to shake the reputation. And he's paying for it. At some point, will those things fade even more and somebody will be willing to take a chance on him? My guess is yes, somebody will. You know what? I could see him, if Houston wants to repair its relationship with Deshaun Watson, I could see them giving Eric a good long look as the head coach. They're one of two teams still without a head coach. But I don't have great faith that he's going to get a head coaching job in anytime soon.
I think that could be a disaster if he goes there. That's the last franchise he should go to. He needs to go to a franchise with stability that's willing to speak up to him.
Yeah, ownership, good GM.
They don't have that. So Bieniemy, let's say he got over a bunch of his bad habits, right? He's going to fall back into those with really bad ownership. And he's going to run wild. Kind of like how Josh McDaniels ran wild around here.
Yeah, look, his Eric's reputation is having a volatile personality. Although Andy Reid, from what I'm reading, will tell you that he's quieted down some, that he's not as loud as he used to be. But still, it follows him around. You know who Eric has always reminded me of? This is a comparison you guys will be able to relate to. Basketball Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas. Mm-hmm. You know, great talent.
Yep.
Undersized, with that angelic smile. You know, Eric always had that great smile.
Yep.
You know, an impish type smile. But behind that smile, there was always plenty of trouble. Same with Isaiah Thomas. You know, character issues in both cases. And I know if any of the guys from the Buffs Club, any of the buddies that all played on the 1990 National Championship team are listening, they're probably really ticked off at me right now for saying this stuff. But, you know, facts are facts. The truth is the truth. And this is, in my estimation, absolutely why Eric is not getting any serious consideration as an NFL head coach. And I'm going to guess, because the rumors have been around for so long, he probably doesn't interview real well.
And it's funny you mentioned Andy Reid, because you would think, all right, Howie Roseman is doing the hiring in Philadelphia, and he is still, you know, very, very close with Andy Reid. And Doug Peterson in Philadelphia was an Andy Reid guy. And the Eagles, you know, got permission to talk to Eric Bieniemy, but now the front runner is Josh McDaniels. So it seems to me like the ideal situation might have been Philadelphia for him in terms of recommendation and organization, but doesn't look like he's on their radar. What was that? What does that say?
No, he was dismissed very quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Hey, let me just
say one more thing. Yeah. From what I'm gathering, Eric in the last few years has interviewed for 13 head coaching jobs. I don't think he's come close to any of them.
Right.
So there's something at work here. I think we've touched on most of those things, and it's just going to be a mountain he's going to have to scale at some point, or, you know, he'll be an offensive coordinator or running backs coach for the rest of his career, which isn't too bad. They still make hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions probably, as coordinators.
Right.
By the way, can I ask you guys one very quick thing?
Sure.
Yeah.
How much would you give up for Deshaun Watson if you're the Broncos?
Mace, you can start. You and I have had this conversation.
Well, I'd give him up a lot. 3 ones, 3 twos, and probably a couple of players as well. Maybe not the best on the roster, but pretty close to it. If Jamal Adams, a safety, is worth 2 ones, what is Deshaun Watson, an elite quarterback, worth?
And listen, I agree. Listen, I know, Les, you agree you trade anything for a quarterback, and I'm of that mindset too, and I know Andrew is as well. But here's the problem. With the salary that he is going to command for X number of years, you're going to absolutely gut your team in terms of your salary cap, and then you're also going to gut your team in terms of the draft as well. So you might have a few good years with him, but you are selling your soul to the devil, because for about 4 or 5 years, it might be dark and bereft of talent.
Well, I'm willing to sell my soul to the devil for a top-notch starting quarterback in the NFL. As we found out in the last 5 years, you ain't going nowhere without it.
I agree.
I give up whatever I have to give up. And by the way, they already have a lot of players around him that are very young and not making a lot of money on offense in particular. Then you let Fangio try to do his magic on the defensive side if he's got to spend a little money on that side.
As you know, Les, Danny always shoots either one of us a look when we were doing the show together if we were late on time, and we are conveniently 9 minutes over.
Okay, bye, guys.
See you, Les.
See you, Les.
My man, Les Shapiro, down in Arizona, a remote guy down in Arizona if we just need to talk about anything, really.
Yeah.
But he covered Bieniemy, so he was the guy that I really wanted to bring on.
He was calling games back in those days. Les Shapiro, of course, was on the call for the famous fifth down game back in 1990.
Coming up after the break, if Drew Brees did indeed play his last game, where are we going to put him amongst the all-time greats? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mays Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending, presented by Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar. It's got everything under one roof: sports, a huge pool hall, and live music. Greenfield's is the spot in Lakewood.
Okay, so if indeed Drew Brees has played his final game, the discussion will begin, where does he rank amongst the all-time greats? Now, can we both agree that he's not going to be ahead of Brady, Montana, or Manning?
Correct.
Now, is everything else now up for discussion, or are you going to put Elway on that list where he's not, Brees is not passing him?
I would actually be more tempted to put Unitas on that list.
I'll put Unitas there, and that's fine. At the end of the day, neither of us watched him play.
Right.
But everybody says he was great, so fine. I'll say he's great, too.
It's sort of, if we get into the statistical argument, he was a few decades ahead of his time.
Correct.
And then Sammy Ball is another category entirely.
Otto Graham, too.
Because Ball was a safety and a punter as well. Sammy Ball kind of has his own place in history.
If you play the 1950s, you get one guy, and that guy's Johnny Unitas. Sorry, Otto Graham. Unfortunately for this discussion, you're out. So now we're looking at the fifth best quarterback of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So now.
But what is interesting, the NFL 100 was out last. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees' name was not on there. And I'll just name the quarterbacks who were on the NFL 100. There were 10 guys. Sammy Ball, Tom Brady, John Elway, Brett Favre, Otto Graham, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Roger Staubach, and Johnny Unitas. And I did a show regarding this about this time last year, just before the quarterback list came out. And the name that I did not have, that the NFL had, was Staubach. I had Brees instead of Staubach among those 10. And Brees was toward the bottom of the 10. Like, I think I had him 7th or 8th. On the list. Not bad, but not approaching the Manning, Brady, Unitas, Montana class.
I'll give you two guys that have something in common. Dan Marino and Drew Brees. Both have put up gaudy numbers. Mm-hmm. Now, Dan Marino did it at a time where it wasn't a passing league. That's what made what he did so impressive.
He was ahead of his time.
For Drew Brees, you know what makes his gaudy numbers impressive? He's 6 feet tall. He's 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Did you see Brees standing next to Brady after yesterday's game?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Brady could have lifted up his elbow and rested it on top of Drew Brees' bald head. Could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much bigger he is than Drew Brees. Brees has put up astronomical Star Wars like numbers, but he did win a Super Bowl.
And that's what separates him from Manning. That's
from Marino.
Or Marino. Sorry. That's one of the reasons why I have him above him on the list is the Super Bowl, getting it done, pushing your team all the way. And I know there are a lot of other factors, but Super Bowl is kind of a tiebreaker between Marino and Drew Brees.
Here I would put everybody loves Elway around here, and I get it. But then again, Elway didn't play in a passing league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why his touchdown interception ratio was not good. That's one reason why his completion percentage was not good.
And he didn't play in a friendly offense for a good chunk of his career until Jim Fossil became the OC in 93.
I would probably have to put Elway ahead of Brees, but I'll give you another guy to put ahead of Brees. Mm-hmm. Is Aaron Rodgers.
And Aaron Rodgers, I think the next time they drop that list, he's taking one of the spots.
Yeah.
And The interesting thing, you mentioned Drew Brees.
But Brees is probably top 10.
Right.
Or you can argue he's in top 10, not top 5, but top 10, just because of the numbers alone. Here's something that is going to be astounding. Of the 11 5,000-yard seasons in NFL history, Brees has 5 of them.
He also has, I believe, the top 3 completion percentage seasons. A function of him being the perfect quarterback for what Sean Payton did. And I think you actually mentioned something interesting about the short quarterbacks. Because it got me thinking, Russell Wilson as a short quarterback, as good as Drew Brees has been, as great as Drew Brees has been, if Russell Wilson plays as long as Drew Brees does, he will probably surpass him in everything but completion percentage. And even completion percentage, he might end up right there with Brees. So it's possible 10 years from now, we may not even be talking about Drew Brees as the best short quarterback in NFL history. That answer may be Russell Wilson.
We need to hit a break. He played the majority of his career down in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Not a major market. Played down in New Orleans. But let's look at some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and I'll tell you what they have over Drew Brees. Give me a top quarterback, and I'll tell you what he has over Drew Brees.
John Elway.
Cavalier gunslinger mentality.
Okay. Brett Favre, kind of the same
thing. No, Brett Favre's not on our list. He's not going to be top 10 for me.
I mean, he's top 10 right now.
Okay, with that, the guys that we've discussed.
Okay. Okay.
Tom Brady. Brady's better looking. He's got a better looking wife.
Peyton Manning.
Much better sense of humor, makes much better commercials.
Johnny Unitas.
Unitas had a better haircut.
That's true. He has the haircut everybody remembers.
The only thing
Joe Montana. Joe Montana, then. That's the last
Joe
one.
Montana's hard. Joe Montana's hard because Joe Montana was a nothing burger as a personality, and I covered Joe Montana. The thing about Drew Brees is there's nothing distinguishable about him with the exception of the birthmark on his face. Other than that, he is incredibly unremarkable when it comes to things that make you think of him. Joe Namath, you know what he was all about.
And real quick, I know we got to get to a break. There have been rumblings that Drew Brees could go into broadcasting and be a color analyst. That is actually where he could make his mark on the football zeitgeist beyond what he is a player. Similar to Terry Bradshaw, Hall of Fame quarterback, two-time Super Bowl MVP.
Different personalities.
Right. But he is known more as a broadcaster than as a quarterback.
Well, for those under the age of 40, right. Yes.
If Brees flourishes as a broadcaster, different personality, but has a chance to kind of have that same kind of arc and be known that way.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
The Nuggets played the Jazz yesterday, and it didn't go so well for Denver. We'll break that game down and talk about some other NBA news right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators, Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, presented by Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
Just in case you missed it, the Nuggets fell to the Utah Jazz last night, 105-109, and Joker and Jamal did not get much help. Jokic put up 35, Murray put up 30, and no other Nuggets were in double figures. How concerned are you about the status of the Denver Nuggets?
Not hitting the panic button yet, but getting close. And obviously, they miss Michael Porter Jr. They not only miss him as the third threat, but they miss him in the fact that every game is a chance for him to develop and get better and be more helpful down the stretch, and not expecting him back until the end of the week. Right now, the Nuggets appear to be a team that's treading water. They're not bleeding profusely. They've been bleeding for a while, but they're not moving forward, and they're going to have some forward momentum here if they're going to get back into where they want to be in this playoff race.
Will Barton played 26 minutes. I thought he was good enough to be a starter. Scored 2 points.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
that's
scored what he two said, points. Right? Now, I understand he's not probably 100%. Played 26 minutes, scored 2 points. By the way, for Jamal Murray, and you're right, Danny, that they need a third option. Jamal Murray cannot go 11 for 27 from the floor.
No. I mean, four.
He did score 30, yeah. But he went 11 for 27 from the floor.
4 for 11 from three-point
range. Nothing wrong with that.
It's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Going 7 for 16 from inside three, that's a problem.
Think about this for a second about the Nuggets. And I don't want to panic, but two things going on here. They don't have a third option to score, and they don't have enough defense. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm feeling good about it.
No. Other than what happened to your husband, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
It was a bang.
Oh, man.
You're the one who brought it up. Mm.
I'd say even that's too soon.
Too soon?
Got to let it go another 45 years until it's an even 200.
Exactly. Right. It was a smashing hit.
Oh, boy.
That would have been more appropriate. It was a smashing hit.
Just in case you missed it, James Harden in his Brooklyn Nets debut over the weekend, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 14 assists. Kevin Durant also had 42 points. So it looks like he and KD are just fine. They are playing the Bucks right now. Nets and Bucks in action as we speak. Are those two teams going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Probably, unless the Bucks have another playoff meltdown. You have to expect that that's how this is probably going to end up. I still don't like the Nets' chemistry once they try to work Kyrie Irving in there. I think Kyrie and James Harden are going to have trouble playing friendly.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us. Alex, great job today. Same with you, Danny. Mace, fantastic as always.
You too.
Thank you.
You know, I feel like I should say that. I mean, you're kind to me. Kind words to you. Thanks for being the driving force behind the outline of the show today and the show in general, and for getting our friend Les on.
Thanks for patronizing me. And once I figure out what that word means, I'm going to be very upset with you. Make it the best possible night you can.